RCA's official podcast. My guest today is Robin Walker, who's a breeder from Michigan. He also show jumps and events to the highest levels, and he's also a member of the Future Event Horse Committee. Robin, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you do all of those things, and you bring obviously a lot of experience, having been originally from the UK. So raising young horses is sort of instinctive, isn't it?
Something that I've been involved in for a long time, on a peripheral level, really. Now it's a lot more hands-on with our own mares and young stock. But yeah, something I'd grown up with, and something I'd seen a lot of in the early days.
Well, obviously being involved with the Future Event Horse Programme, you see what is required over here to develop the young event horses, and you were involved with the seminar recently with Susan and Faith to really educate people here as to how important that is, that early handling is, Robin. Let's just talk about some of those basics and why it is critical to start as soon as they're born.
Yeah, I mean, I've learned the learned the hard way that, and there's a couple of stories that happens to everybody. That's how you get your experience. I was handled as soon as they're obviously up and nursing, and we're involved with them from the beginning. I think the first 6 months define on that daily basis the rest of their acceptance of us. I remember going down to one of my good friends in Kentucky and seeing the quality job that was done with the mares and foals leading out to the field, and that set my standard, because in the early days of bringing horses over from Ireland and things, when I first lived here, some of them came and clearly they'd grown up in the field. I understand that now, with very little handling, and they were orangutans for a long time. So we start ours right from the beginning. Once they're up and nursing and healthy and things are going the right way, then they're going to have their little tiny head collar on, and you have to be gentle and delicate with that, obviously. But they're going to learn about us right from day one. They're led in and out, and that just continues through that time period.
It is that early imprint, as you say, which is so incredibly important, and something which the racing industry, the thoroughbred industry, take for granted.
Correct. That's where I got my upgrade, if you like. I've had plenty of experience of studying the field, especially in Ireland, and all of a sudden you go into the yard and you're watching them break the horses and get them going, and you realise that boy, you know, they're big, they're strong, and they're raw. And I don't want mine to be like that. I want the job to be three quarters done by the time they're ready to, you know, really go under tack. So once they get through that initial stage, and we have little blankets, they all have their little baby blankets on, because obviously it gets cold in Michigan before we leave for Florida. Once they're weaned, I've got little weanling blankets, which I didn't realize the benefit of that, how much that would improve them in that first year and a half. Obviously, you've got to have supervision and you've got to do it properly, but that whole notion of desensitizing them to what they're going to have to ultimately become, I found that very, very useful. But obviously, it needs to be done with care and a bit of organization, you know?
Well, yes, obviously professional handling and professional advice if you're new to this. But one of the things, of course, that is important in that early stages of putting the foal slip on is understanding the sensitivity of the head. It takes a while for some of them, doesn't it, to get used to you being around their head. They get used to you being around their body, but around the head is something else.
Correct, and you can't force the issue. Normally what happens if we've got a difficult one, or one that's a bit sharp, you know, you have to be sensitive to mother too. She's got to be comfortable with you around. A couple of the maiden mares that we've had, we have a very nice cruising mare here. And her first foal, she was quite defensive of us going in the stable. And you need to just be sensitive to her too, so that you don't end up in a tricky situation. But the nightmare scenario is to be running around the stable after a foal trying to put a head collar on it. and have it bang its head or do something stupid or fall over. So, you know, if there's a problem, there's a head collar goes on the mare, and then a couple of us go in the stable, and you'll literally, you know, you'll literally get hold of the foal and hold it quietly, and then it's a real slow, it's a real slow process.
Yes, very gradual. But one of the things I remember, Robin, that is very helpful to have when you have the mare, put the foal alongside the mare, so the foal is between you and the mare.
Correct, correct. Yep. It's all feel, and it's something that it's very difficult to write down in a book because it's live action. It's a live action scenario, and it's some mares are great. Some mares don't really care. Some foals are great. Some foals are a bit sharp. Some mares are a bit sharp. So it has to be done, you know, according to what, same as everything with horses, it's got to be done according to what they need. But I think what the biggest mistake is to say, and I don't mind admitting in this context, I've made that mistake of saying, oh, well, we'll do it later, and then you don't want to do it later.
Yeah. You pay for it forever, don't you? Because once you've made Correct. That imprint, then there is an acceptance and there is a confidence with that human being too. Obviously, the confidence from the mare is important when you're imprinting on the foal, but you also develop a confidence with the foal to come to humans as they mature, as they go out in the field. They then become more confident and sometimes a little bit cocky, which is not a bad thing too, but because if you're combining that with correct handling, you've got a horse that's developing and maturing with confidence.
Yeah, correct. And we get to the stage with ours that when the farrier comes to do the trimming, we literally just go out in the field and put and catch him, and, you know, put a head collar on, put a rope on him, and they'll lift their feet up and we can do them all in the field. And that's where I want them. I mean, the girls every day when they get done with the chores of the riding horses, if there's any spare time, they're in the field. We have a very nice yearling right now. It's by Carrick Diamond Lad, and he needs a bit of help with his, you know, with his handling. He's a big strong yearling, and that's what they'll be doing actually today when they get a bit of time. They'll be in the field handling them, and we have big field shelters so they can take him in there and catch him. But then he'll be getting a little bit more of that because you're exactly right. He's a bit cocky right now and thinks he rules the roost, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he needs to have a little bit more handling on that side of things. So again, it's what they need, you know. Some of them easily accept that, and others don't. So you just have to go with the flow.
Well, going back to the foal stage, Robin, when you have that foal slip on them, and you're teaching them to lead, to take them out with the mare, always have the foal in between you and the mare, so you're right alongside, so the mare knows exactly. I mean, close enough to be touching if necessary. So the foal is confident and trusts you that the foal is coming along, because the other thing that helps by keeping them there, of course, is that if they do want to pull away, if you've kind of wedged them really between you and the foal, so you don't have that situation where, you know, if they weren't alongside the mare, for example, they could start to throw their head up and become unbalanced and fall over.
Well, correct. That's I mean, the instinct is for the foal to follow the mother, so you go with that instinct.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing you want is to be in a situation where your foal won't go forward, and it's pulling back and it's wagging its head sideways, and that's not where you want to go. If we get in any kind of problem, you just have somebody from behind the foal.
Well, one technique I know is that some thoroughbred studs use, Robin, is to not actually attach the lead rein to the foal slip, but slip it through and have your finger
Correct.
In between. So you've got your left hand, your left hand on that, sort of quite close to the head, and then your other arm is around their bum. So you can keep moving them forward, right, alongside the mare. So you've got them kind of contained as best you can. But if they do start to take fright for whatever reason and look like they're going to become unbalanced and risk falling over, you can actually slip them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, is this something you do?
We've done all of it. Jim gave me a lesson down in, or Jim's lads gave me a lesson, and I watched them closely down in Kentucky. And yeah, if we've got any hang-ups, then of course we'll do that. I've been pretty lucky with mine. I mean, I'll put my hand round their bum, or as they get a bit more mature, we have a couple of very long lead ropes, and that lead rope can go around their bum, and you can just keep them all coming along that way, you know?
Yes.
But I've actually, if I get in any kind of trouble with a foal that doesn't want to go forward or doesn't want to lead properly, then I'm going to have somebody just stood behind me, not directly behind the foal, because you'd be surprised how hard they can kick from an early age. But I would have somebody lead the mare, and then I'd be on the foal, and then I would have somebody stood directly behind me, and I would just be pushing the foal along as well. So, because you've got to have pretty experienced staff when you start. The lads who do the thoroughbred jobs are masters at it. They're not going to let a foal fall over on the ground.
No.
They're going to let go first. So my staff are not that experienced. They're good, but they're not. They're experienced, but they're not that experienced. So if I get stuck in any way, then I'm just going to have an extra pair of hands to help. And it's the same in the stable. If we're struggling, then it's going to be done quietly, but there's going to be an extra pair of hands, so it doesn't escalate into a hot, sweaty mess, you know?
And the other point to underline, I think, Robin, is to do this daily. It has to be done daily, doesn't it?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. You have to. We are forced into that situation here because we have 20,000 acres of state land. We live right next to the Waterloo Recreation Area. And I was horrified when this first started for me because I had two coyotes in the field. We have a big one day. And I knew exactly what they were at. There were two mares and two foals, and the foals were small enough, and there were two coyotes at the top of the fence line. So that dictated that those foals were in and out every single day. In the beginning, I'm talking about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that is the way to go because they get the regular daily handling, and my foals don't get out in the field in the summer until they're big enough that they can hold their own, you know.
Right.
But that is, yeah, that was a bit of a shock, and that was right in the back in the beginning when, you know, because most of the things that I was used to was, oh, just put them out in the field. Well, that ended the day I saw that. But yes, you absolutely should have to do it every day, in and out, and that way you can keep an eye on them. I mean, you keep an eye on the mare, you can keep an eye on the foal, you can see how they're developing, make sure they're coming along as they should. They need to be out as soon as possible, and that way they can get up on their feet and get everything working properly. But yes, every day, absolutely.
And in addition, of course, to leading them, then there's the handling them in the stable when you're going to be, you know, handling their legs, teaching them to pick up their feet, all of that stuff. And, you know, to be really all your hands all over them as much as possible in that early, in
Correct.
Those early days. And if you do it every day, then it very soon becomes accepted, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. And I'll just tell you a story because this is going to happen to everybody, and it happened to me. We had a very nice Irish mare that had her foal and her head collar came off. This was years ago, and I was too busy competing, and I never took care of it. And I went to catch her one day in the field, and she'd been out most of the summer. And I got a lesson in manners, second to none. and she was a small enough foal, but I got a proper seeing to when I was trying to catch her. And it's exactly what you don't want to do. So that only... You know, I don't mind sharing that with everybody because, you know, your daily life and what you're doing, it's a responsibility. And if you do it right, you'll be rewarded. And you'll be rewarded by the time the foal is weaned. You'll have a well-mannered, organized mind that accepts us. And if you make a mistake like that, you're going to have a horse that's taking the wild instinct that we spend our entire training experience with the horse trying to, you know, trying to work with, you know. You'll have that developed and you'll have that front and center. So again, that was one of those stories that only happened once, you know.
Yes. And of course, as you have that bond with these foals, and by the time they become weanlings, they're so much more manageable. And you only have to look at the thoroughbred industry, don't you, Robin, to see, you watch these yearlings, weanlings and yearlings going to, or yearlings really, to sale, and how
yeah.
well managed they are. You only have to go to Keeneland or any of those OBS, any of those sites, or in England, and you'll see how well managed they are, and you really can show the horse off, because by that point the horses are so well conditioned, just as a yearling. Now, if we can translate to the sport horse industry, we're onto a winner, aren't we?
Correct. The thoroughbred horse going to the sales has to be prepared, obviously. The horse has to be able to cope, has to be mannerly on that side of things. The biggest mistake that is made in the sport horse world is there's an enthusiasm to breed, and then comes the responsibility part. And having, like I just shared with you, having made that mistake once, it's not worth making. This is just a hunch, and there's no science to back it up, but I reckon it takes three times longer to get yourself out of the hole you put yourself in. And that's, you know, when that's why we make damn sure now that when the foals are born, that happens and they're handled, and by the time they get to weanling status, all those things are done, and all that foundation is laid. Because if it isn't, you're always playing catch up. So I think that's probably the biggest message that I can share with people from today, is once your foal's on the ground and it's healthy, then the work it's only just beginning. And if you want not to be disappointed later on, that responsibility's got to be taken seriously.
Absolutely, and sustained on a daily level. And there's, you can never go in the box too often, can you? You can never go into their stall too often.
No. And, you know, you start to make decisions as well. This is the other part of it. When you're breeding, you're going to have some misfires. And it depends, you know, what are you breeding for is the first question. And after you've chosen your stallion for your mare and you've made those decisions, then you're going to get to see the temperament of that match. And you are well advised, because of the expense involved in all of this, to spend that time, because you'll get a good read on what that temperament's going to be like from a very early age. A lot of the biggest problem in this country, I think, is that when it comes to sport horses, is that we don't have the depth, for instance, that they have in Ireland on the sport horse, on the mares being established in their realm. We don't have a massive depth of sport mares that are proven. So a lot of, you know, a lot of thoroughbred mares get bred, and you need to be checking how that's going to work out, because you might not want to breed back that same cross if your temperament is, they've got to be trainable, they've got to be handleable, they've got to be manageable. And you find out pretty quick when you're spending regular time with them, where you're headed, even from an early age.
Well, you mentioned earlier about the maiden mares too, and how important it is to treat them with sensitivity and respect, because it's their first time, they don't know what's going on, and you see a side to them that you didn't know before they got in foal and before they had their first foal. They become something quite different, don't they?
Yeah, that's hugely important too. Like I said, the cruising mare was quite defensive of us, and we just had to be steady. She didn't quite understand what had happened to her, and she didn't really understand about nursing, and it was a bit tricky for a while. Some of them are, even though they're maiden mares, some of them take to it very easily. But yes, you have to. You have to be sensitive, because they can get quite defensive, they can get quite worried, they can get quite nervous. When I bought my first mares, I bought older mares because I figured that they would know more than me about this whole process. That worked out okay. But as we've gone on and I've had access to better mares, you know, some of them have been maiden mares, so you do have to be careful.
Right. Well, good advice. And then, as you say, it's all an investment, a foundation for the future with these young horses. So it makes your job so much easier as they mature into yearlings and two-year-olds. And before you get in the tack, the job is half done.
Correct. And the worst case scenario, can't stress that enough, is the unhandled three-year-old. The three-year-old that just stayed out and wasn't given the time he needed or she was needed, and all of a sudden you're facing a situation where you're looking at getting tack on this thing and you're going to have to find a special person to do that if that's not been done. If it's been my experience that if all that groundwork is done as they get older, then the actual process of transferring into tack and riding is so much easier. And then you've got something that's useful to start with.
And if you haven't bred the horse yourself and you're buying a yearling or a two-year-old, you would hope that you're buying it from someone who has done the groundwork.
Yeah, and you need to be, you know, you need to be smart about that. When we go looking at young horses in Ireland, for instance, you ask some questions, and if you see something really smart that isn't broken, then you're entitled to ask some questions about what's been done with it, and if you make the if it's not been handled a great deal and it's just grown up in the field, then that weighs into your decision about who's going to help you with it and what you're going to do. And it's similar over here. There's plenty of young horses now that are being bred. And if you're in that situation, as a buyer, I think you're entitled to ask how much handling it's had, and that will weigh into your decision what to do, whether to go forward or at least get yourself the facts so you know what you're dealing with before you start. Not everybody is able to handle them every day, so. You need to be aware of what you're getting into, so you know there's no it doesn't all end in tears.
Well, good advice, Robin, and obviously the essential foundation for a future event horse. So I want to thank you very much indeed for joining us today, and hopefully this will help people understand the importance of educating those babies.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And you can hear other interviews in this series on the future event horse with Susan Graham-White and Faith Fessenden right here on the USEA's official podcast at useventing.com or at usea.podbean.com. And you can download these podcasts on iTunes to your MP3 player. I'm Chris Stafford, and until the next time, enjoy your eventing.